Good morning, everybody. Good morning, those watching by live stream. We love you guys. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6 as we continue verse by verse through the book of Ephesians. Next 2 or 3 weeks, I'm going to preach some messages on spiritual warfare. I'm going to talk about Satan today. Not too many messages are preached on him, but today I'm going to focus. I can't go to all the scriptures, but normally I'll have you turn to scriptures, but today you're going to turn to some of them. And I'm going to explain some things about Satan. Now, the sad thing is, most people, if you go out there today and ask, is Satan real? Is he a real person? And a lot of people say, no, he's just a myth. But the sad thing is, I found was in Watchtower Exposition, this is in 1993, he says this, even those who claim to be born again are not necessarily firmly grounded in the truth of the Bible. He says, in his book, which provides statistical analysis of religious beliefs in America, George Barna found some fascinating statistics. In his book, chapter 4, he says this, the devil or Satan is not a living being, but is a symbol of evil. Then asked segments of this survey, respondents, those who were born again, nothing about the lost, right? Yeah, do you agree strongly to that statement? Somewhat agree, disagree somewhat, or disagree strongly with that statement? The born again population, 32% agreed strongly, 11% agreed somewhat, and 5% did not know. So thus, the total number responding, 48% either agreed that Satan's only a symbol or he doesn't exist at all. Among those who were born again, this is back in 1993. That's crazy. He goes on to say this, another one. He says, should it then be surprising that a few pages later, Barna would receive some startling responses? His next question was, Christians, Jews, Muslims, Buddhists, and others are all prayed to the same God, even though they use different names for God. Is that a true statement? Of the population surveyed who identified, again, as, again, born-again Christians, 30% agreed strongly that they're all praying to the same God. 18% agreed somewhat, and 12% did not know. So he said that's a total of 60%. So I'm here today to inform you that Satan is real. And he's trying to destroy your life, in your marriage, in your family, in this church. It's real. I'm going to show you that today according to the scriptures. But I also want to say that we have victory in Jesus through it. I'm going to show you that too along the way. I'm not just going to focus on Satan, but I am going to explain Satan, and I'll give you some reasons why. Let me give you 10 quick facts. There's no way I could explain in one message all about Satan, but I'm going to, you know, hit here and there. We're going to turn to some passages, but 10 quick facts about Satan according to the Bible. Number one, he was a created being, right? And he was a perfect being. If you go to Isaiah 14, it talks about his fall, but Ezekiel 28, he was perfect. He was beautiful. He was involved in music and everything. You go read that passage. I don't have time to read it, but go read Ezekiel 28 later. But he chose to rebel against God. In Isaiah 14, you'll see that. I want to be like God. He wanted all the glory. And when did that happen? Well, we know in Genesis 1:31, when God created it, he said everything's very good. But by Genesis 3, between Genesis 1 and Genesis 3, he rebelled. Because we know in the garden, he tempted Adam and Eve, right? So between that time, he chose to repel, even though he knew all about God. He wanted to be like God. And then he took a third of the angels, most of us believe. We're going to see that passage in Revelation 12. A third have become demons now that work for him. Remember, Satan is, he's not omnipresent. He's only in one place at one time. He's not like God. But he has many, many demons to work for him. He can control weather. He can afflict people. Look at the book of Job. He afflicted his friends. He took away his wealth. He touched his health. All under the power of God, though. So he's still under God's control. But he has a lot of power. So don't diminish Satan at all. He did a lot of things. But he's a defeated foe. He's going to be thrown in the lake of fire. Revelation 20:10 says this, and the devil that deceived, and we're going to look at that today, that's his main number one thing, he deceives. Them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, we'll talk about them today, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So one day God's going to contain all evil of all time. You know, people say, if God is so loving, why is there all this suffering in the world? That's a big, huge thing. People ask me that all the time when I'm out there. I said, it's just timing. God's going to eventually do that. He's going to take all evil and put it together in the lake of fire. But he's not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. So he's long-suffering that you would get saved. Now, remember, Christ has already won the battle. Satan is defeated. And we have to fight from victory, not defeat. Right? John 10:10 says this, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, to destroy. I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. All right? Now, I found this. Oswald Sanders summarizes some of Statement's strategies. And again, I can't do this every passage, but I just want to go through this real quick. He gives strategies of unbelievers. This is what Satan is going to do. Number one, he's blinding the minds of the regenerate, 2 Corinthians 4. So he is blinding people not to get saved. Number two, this is for unbelievers, snatching away the good seed of the word. So when you preach the seed, the word to somebody, Satan's trying to snatch that away, right away. Two, luring the unbeliever into a false sense of security. We're going to talk more about that today. Laying snares for the unwary. Masquerading as the angel of light. We're going to look at that today. Deceiving those whose minds are not subject to the word of truth. And then mixing truth with error. And then for believers, he says this. He wants to annihilate the church or neutralize its witness from within. Acts chapter 5, we're going to look at that maybe today or next week. He wants to persecute from without. He wants to persecute the church. Smother its witness. He wants to disturb the unity of the church by creating discord and division. So every time there's division in your home, in your marriage, in the church, Satan has his hand in it. See, I'm going to go through it today. It's like we always think it's people. You know, it's my husband, it's my wife. It's this person, it's that person. No, it's a spiritual fight behind it. Satan uses people. And he's probably used you and you don't even know it. We know that because Peter, remember when Peter was stopping Jesus from going to the cross, he says, get thee behind me, Satan. He said it to the apostle Peter. He's like, what? Listen, no believer can be possessed by a demon because you have the Holy Spirit. But he could oppress you. I could go off into the flesh and he could use me at a moment to go against my wife. He uses Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. They were believers. Because he talks about, I'll probably get there next week, he talks about, you know, you're grieving the Holy Spirit. So if you're grieving the Holy Spirit, you have to be saved. They're believers. All right, now go to Ephesians chapter 1. I just want to remind you before I go into this that in Christ positionally, we're already victors. Right? Through Christ, Jesus has broken the power of Satan over our lives. Go to verse 17. Here's Paul praying. We went over this before. I went verse by verse through all this, but I'm not just want to read. I just want to remind you before I get going here on Satan himself. Verse 17, he says, that the God of our Father, Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom, of revelation, and knowledge of him. And here he goes. He's praying this. He's saying that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope. That's the absolute confidence of his calling. See, with the calling of salvation is assurance. He goes, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of the power to usward who believe according to the working of his power, mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Watch this now. Far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion, every name that is named, including Satan, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, hath put all things under his feet and give him to be the head over all the things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth in all. So as we live in our position in Christ, we can defeat Satan with all the tools that God has given us. And that's how we should live. So my main thought is we can win the daily attacks of Satan through Jesus, through the gospel. All right, so how do we practically live a daily victory life concerning spiritual warfare? Now, we're going to talk about three things And I'm only going to focus on one today. Is how do you daily have victory? One is understand the plans of Satan in the demonic realm. And that's what I'm going to focus on today. B is, and we'll look at these next two next week, by wearing the protection of the armor of God. So we're going to talk about the armor of God next week. And then third, praying always. So three P's in your mind, right? Understand the plans of Satan, put on the protection of God, and pray. We're going to deal with the last two next week. That's how you're going to win. That's the only way you're going to win. You're not going to win in your own strength, your own wisdom. You cannot outsmart Satan. It's impossible. Now, my first point, how, in order to win this battle, we have to understand our enemy, right? We must understand his battle plans, right? If you go back and you study wars, even the Civil War, you know, in the Civil War, when there was generals on both sides and leaders, they were friends. They went to military school together, and they knew each other. So when they were battling, they were like, oh, I wonder what Lee's going to do. I wonder what Grant's going to do. And they kind of knew each other a little bit, so they always try to figure that out. And even, you know, intelligence, we're always, you know, when there's wars going on, you're trying to steal intel, right, from trying to get communication to get it so we know what their plans are in order to win. So God's word reveals how Satan works, and that's what I want to focus on today. Three things we need to know about Satan to defeat him. Number one is, go to Ephesians chapter 6. It spells it out right in these three verses right here. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, if you're taking notes, A, three things to know about Satan to defeat him. One, only by God's strength, we just sang it, can we defeat him. All right, look at verse 10, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong or empowered in the Lord, and the power of his might. So it's only through Christ living through us, Galatians 2:20, can we have victory. A little boy asked his dad, he said, Dad, am I bigger than Satan? And his dad said, no. And then the little boy said, Dad, are you bigger than Satan? And he said, no. And then the little boy asked, is Jesus bigger than Satan? His dad said, yes. And then the little boy said, I'm not afraid because I have Jesus inside of me. He got that simple concept. Satan is bigger than you. He's bigger than everyone, but not Jesus Christ. 1 John 4:4, remember this verse. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. The context is false teachers and false spirits guiding those false teachers. You have overcome them because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We must fight from victory, not trying to attain victory. You're going to see when we look at the armor, there's nothing protecting your back. Because we're not supposed to be running away from Satan. You're going to see next week, I'll look at some of those words. You're supposed to stand. You're supposed to stand. Now, this idea that I'm going to go after Satan. No. You're not going after Satan. He's too big. He's too powerful. We have to stand with God's armor. We have to think biblically in order to win. And if you remember anything today, and we just sang about it. So it's so cool how the songs fit. You have to finally see that you are weak in order to beat Satan. I want to show you this. The Apostle Paul figured it out. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. You have to see that you are weak in order to defeat Satan. And you think, wow, that doesn't even make sense. It does make sense biblically. Watch. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul gets taken up to the third heaven, saw what no man saw. God revealed things to him. And you're going to jump to verse 6. 2 Corinthians 12, 6 says this. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. Right? We're only supposed to glory in God. He says, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any should think of me above that which he seemeth to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation. Everything he saw that God revealed to him in heaven. He said, watch now. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of who? So Satan, Satan gave him. We don't know what this thorn is. The Greek there has point or prickly. It's some maybe bodily annoyance, something. It was his eyes. I don't know. In the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet him, lest I should be exalted above measure. So listen, if the Apostle Paul was afflicted by Satan and God allowed it, right? So this whole idea that, you know, this prosperity theology is nonsense. What do you do with this? Everyone should be healthy and wealthy all the time. God allowed this to happen. Now I want you to see something that's very important. Verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, three times that it might depart from me. Hey, now that's not wrong. Hey, you're struggling with something, you're a physical, you know, I just pray for Jason. Hey, there's nothing wrong to say, hey, God, can you heal me? Can you do it? Nothing wrong with that. Get a bunch of people to pray. Still nothing wrong with that. He didn't do anything wrong. But watch, this is so key. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect or complete in weakness. Do you see? He had to figure out, because then he goes on to say, let me just read the rest of it. He says that once he figured this out, wait, I'm weak. He goes, most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. See, he's going to now depend on God. Why? Because he realized how weak he was. See, when you think you're a strong Christian, and I do, Satan's going to have a field day with you and I. Because we're in our own strength. Oh, I know the Bible so well. I know this. Look, I never did what, you know, so-and-so did. Oh, you're in trouble. You're in big trouble. Therefore, verse 10, I take pleasure means to think well of infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. Not for our foolish sake, right? For when I am weak, then I am strong. So the first thing we got to get down is we got to see that we're so weak and we need to depend on God every millisecond. If you have a great mind, you have great abilities, You're going to more and more lean toward your own strength. See, some of the things that we have that are strength become weaknesses because it doesn't allow us to rely on God. So please, if you walk away with anything, understand that he that is in me is greater than he is in the world, but two, I am so weak and Satan was going to have a field day with me. I need God every second. That's the beginning point. If you don't come to that point, you won't win against him. He's too smart. All right? Now the second thing. So only by God's strength can we defeat him, Ephesians 6:10. The second thing, write down, we must understand the schemes of Satan. We must understand how he operates. Go back to our text. Ephesians chapter 6. All right, let's look at verse 11. It says, put on the whole armor of God. We're going to deal with that next week. It's the last statement I want to look at. All right, we'll look at the armor next week. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Stand against the wiles. First of all, the word stand means to stand your ground. It means don't retreat. Don't be taken down. That's the first thing. Right? So we don't go after Satan, like I said before. He's too powerful. We need to stand with God, call on God in prayer. We're going to talk about how to pray to defeat Satan next week. We need to put on his armor, right? But we have to know how he fights. And the interesting word, you know, when you look at this, and I'm going to look it up before later on, is the word wiles. Let me just deal with it now. The word wiles has the idea of it means trickery, to lie in wait, to trick you. It's the word we get method from. Ah, that makes sense. So he says, I want you to know the methods of Satan in order to defeat Satan. So we have to understand how he operates. All right? You and I cannot fight Satan. I want to give you a scene in Revelation 12 where Michael, the archangel, he's only the only archangel that's in the scripture, he's going to fight with Satan in the future in the tribulation. I want to show you that. Go to Revelation chapter 12. All right, this is during the tribulation. Remember, at any moment, the rapture could take place. The church is gone. Then there's 7 years of tribulation, and Jesus is going to come back physically and start the millennial kingdom after that, right? Go to Revelation chapter 12. We're going to go to a couple passages here in Revelation. Revelation 12. And there appeared a great wonder, okay, a sign, a symbol in heaven. And it says a woman. Now, the woman here in this text is Israel. Remember, the tribulation is the time of Jacob's trouble. It's for Israel, right? That's why, you know, we're not going to, I can't go into it. We're not going to go through the tribulation. That's another message. And let's keep going here. A woman clothed with the sun. If you go back and look at the moon, you go back, it refers to Jacob and Leah. And upon her head, a crown of 12 stars. See, he's talking about Israel. And she being with child, cried, travailing in birth, pain to be delivered. So Israel's waiting for the second coming. Israel's waiting for the Messiah to come. And there appeared another wonder or sign in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon. That's Satan. Having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. There is talking about this confederation, the revival of the Roman Empire during the tribulation. All right. Verse 4. And his tail drew part of the stars of heaven. So here's what they're saying. The third part of the stars, most believe those are demons that Satan took. And did cast them to the earth. And the dragon, Satan, stood before the woman. The woman is Israel again. Which was ready to be delivered for to deliver her child as soon as it was born. And when she brought forth a man. Who's that? The man child. Who's that? Jesus. And who was to rule the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God. That's talking about the Christ's ascension. And to his throne. And the woman, verse 6, Israel, fled into the wilderness. Again, this is during the tribulation, where she hath a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days, talking about the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. Look at verse 7. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, Satan. And the dragon fought and his angels, the demons, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. Now remember, initially, Satan was around the throne of God. When he rebelled, he was pushed out the immediate throne of heaven. But here during the tribulation, he's thrown completely out of heaven and he's going to the earth. And then it says, verse 8, and prevailed neither, no more was their place found any more in heaven. Verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out, and that old serpent, a lot of words here describing Satan, called the devil, Satan, which, here it is, we're going to talk about this more now, he deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into heaven, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice, and most believe this is the tribulation saint, saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren, there's another thing that Satan does, is cast down, which to curse them before God day and night. Thank God, Jesus at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and I. Because Satan is accusing you day and night. Verse 11. And they overcame him. Talking about the tribulation saints. Watch this now. By the blood of the Lamb. See? Jesus Christ, the gospel. And by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. Man, you got to die to yourself. You're willing to die for Christ. Therefore, rejoice, ye heavens, and you that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth of the seal, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Michael appears to be the guardian angel of Israel. Daniel 12:1 says this, at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was seen there was a nation even to the same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that should be found written in the book. Listen, the tribulation, this pandemic with corona is nothing compared to the tribulation. Nothing. So we have to understand the methods of Satan. So I want to talk about 4 main methods of Satan. And the first one is deception. And that's the biggest one. He deceives people. We saw that here. That's his number one thing. Satan is so good at deception that every human being, listen, every human being, even during the tribulation, it says, if it wasn't for God, even the elect would be deceived. Matthew 24 says this, it's in the tribulation. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, that they shall deceive even the very elect, even the believers during that time. Without God's intervention, everyone would be deceived. All nations. I'll show you. Go to Revelation 20. Revelation 20. So after the tribulation, we know in chapter 19, Jesus is going to come back and every eye is going to see him, Revelation 1:7. Right? The first time he came as a lamb, and now he's going to come as a lion. He's coming as the King of Kings, the Lord. He's going to judge. Totally different. Right? Revelation 19, let's just pick it up a little bit here. Verse 15, go to chapter 19, verse 15, and we'll go into 20. And out of the mouth goeth a sharp sword that with it shall smite the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. He hath on his vesture, on his thigh, written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun. He cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. Man, I always tell people, you don't want to be there. All the people that have died during the tribulation, the birds are going to come and eat. Right? We got the Last Supper, the Lord's Supper, and we got the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. Right? You could be at those and be a believer. You can't be a believer and be here. You don't want to be here. You want to get saved. If you're watching today, you're not saved, please get saved. This is real. This is coming. And then it says, verse 18, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw a beast, that's the Antichrist, and the kings of the earth, remember that 10 kings of federation, right, of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him. Who? Christ, that sat on the horse and against his army. You know, if you follow out prophecy, they're fighting each other, but when Christ comes, they're going to all get together and fight him. And the beast, verse 20, the Antichrist, was taken, and with him the false prophets, and they wrought miracles before with which he deceived them. We're going to talk about them in a second. And he received the mark of the beast, and them which worship his image, these both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant, talking about the rest of the wicked, were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, whose sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. So that's the end. He's going to come and stop the battle of Armageddon. Christ is going to come back. All unsaved people are going to be wiped out. And then it's going to come the millennial kingdom. Jesus is going to sit on the throne, and there's going to be peace on the earth. The lion's going to lay with the lamb. People think, oh, there's going to be peace. Let's pray for peace. You could pray for it. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. But it ain't going to come until right here. But watch what takes place in order for it to happen. Verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, the abyss, talked about in Luke chapter 8, and a great chain in his hand to bind. And he laid hold on that dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should, what? Deceive the nations. That's his name. Number one thing. No more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. Then verses 4-6 talk about the tribulation saints. I'm not going to read all that. Jump down to verse 7. And when 1,000 years were expired, Satan should be loosed out of prison. And he should go out to what? Deceive. That's his number one thing. The nations which are in the four corners of earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is the sand of the sea. And when I always read that, I get so sad. Because watch. During that time, the millennial kingdom, there's no devil tempting you. So we can't blame the devil. You know, if those are older, Flip Wilson, the devil made me do it. Right? Remember, we have three enemies, the flesh, Satan, and the world system. It's not always the devil. Yes, the devil's using the world system to tempt us, but we still have the flesh. We still have our flesh that causes us to sin. Right? So during the tribulation, during the millennial kingdom, it's like there's no Satan. You can't blame him. The environment's going to be perfect. You know, a lot of times they're trying to always change the environment in the sense of we're going to make a building look beautiful so the people inside are going to be better. What I'm trying to say to you, during that time, everything's going to be perfect. There's going to be no disobedience. If it's going to be met out. There's going to be no rebellion seen on the earth. So you can't blame the circumstances and the environment, all those things. There's no Satan. So what is it to show? How wicked man really is. Because it says when Satan is loose, as the sand of the sea, these people are going to go with Satan. It shows how depraved man really is. Left to himself, we're all wicked. They just experienced peace on the earth. Now remember, going into the millennial kingdom, they're all believers. But they had kids. Most believe during that time there's longevity of life. So they're going to have kids. And these kids inside, there's going to be some, I'm not saying all of them, there's going to be rebellion inside. They can't do it outwardly because Christ will put an end to that. But when Satan is loosed, he's going to deceive all of them. Not all of them, but most people. As the sand of the sea, it says, right? Verse 9, and they went up on the breath of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city. So they surround Jerusalem where Jesus is. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the verse I quoted before, and the devil that deceiveth them was cast in a lake of fire and brimstone where the beast, that's the Antichrist, and the false prophet are. This is a great verse by that the hell is eternity, because it says, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Oh, they already are. They're already being tormented, right? The false prophet and the Antichrist. That's a great verse to show that it's eternal. Now, I know this message is not for the faint-hearted. Let me just say that. But this is Bible, just like anything else. This is true. This is going to happen. Now, three ways that Satan uses to this deception. I try to make this as simple as possible. So he's trying to deceive, but how does he accomplish that? Three things. I don't have it on your outline. You could jot them down yourself if you want. Number one, he does miracles. He performs miracles to deceive. 2 Thessalonians 2:9 says this, even him whose coming is after the work of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. All right, so let me give you an example. You're here in Revelation. Go to Revelation 13. I'm getting a little prophecy today. Revelation 13. Again, this is futuristic. Okay? And Satan uses miracles to deceive. I always tell people, every time you see a miracle, it doesn't mean it came from God. You'll see. Look, Revelation 13, and I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast, an Antichrist, rise out of the sea, the massive humanity. People argue, who is this person? And I'm going to go into that right now. Having, again, seven heads. We talked about this before, 10 horns, the 10-nation confederation, this revival of the Roman Empire, if you will. And upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. And the beast, now that's the Antichrist, which I saw was like a leopard. So it describes him. Swiftness, right? His feet were as feet as a bear. He was strong. And his mouth is the mouth of a lion. He was powerful. And that dragon, now it's Satan, right? So the beast is the Antichrist. Don't confuse. The beast is the Antichrist. Dragon is Satan. Gave him his power, gave the Antichrist his power, and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of the heads as it were wounded to death. His deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. So watch. The Antichrist gets some blow where he's looks like he's dead, and the Antichrist is going to come and resurrect him like Christ was resurrected. And people are going to say, this is the Christ, this is the Messiah. They're going to be deceived. See? Verse 4, and when they worshiped the dragon, Satan, which gave power unto the beast, the Antichrist, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto this beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Again, that 3.5 year period, the end of the tribulation. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, all of heaven, and them that dwell in heaven. Incredible. Verse 7. It was given unto him to make war with the saints. Again, talk about the tribulation saints during that time. And to overcome them. And power was given to him, watch now, him over all kindreds, tongues, and nations. There's the one world government that's going to come. He has power over all the world. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. There's your one world church. Whose names are not written in the book of life, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And if any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with a sword must be killed with a sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Verse 11. And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb. So he seemed gentle, but he spake as a dragon like Satan. He exercised all the power of the first beast, the Antichrist, before him, and caused the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast. So his job is to bring worship to the Antichrist. Some say, who is this person? Some religious person. Some have said the Pope. I'm not going to name who it is. I don't know. You'll know during that time. But it's saying, hey, worship the Antichrist. Verse 10. And he doeth great wonders so that he maketh fire. Watch now. This is the second beast. Miracles. Come down from heaven on the earth inside of men. Hey, what if you saw somebody right now just like, fire. Burn up Linda. People are like, what? No, honey, I don't mean that. Watch now. He exercised all the power of the first beast before him and caused the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. Verse 14, and he deceiveth, there it is, them that dwell on the earth. By what miracles? By the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had a power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship him. Now, I don't know, this is some sort of robot that he made that looks real, or I don't know, it looks like a human. Because remember, Satan can counterfeit. He can't create. He can't create life. He's not God. Many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And that no man, again, during the tribulation, might buy or sell. There's your one world economy. Got the one world church, the one world government, yep, and the one world economy right here. It's all coming together. Save he that the mark or the same of the beast, or the number of it, of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of man, which is 6, and his number is 666. So listen, Satan will perform miracles. So you'll be deceived. So people will be deceived, especially during the tribulation time. The second one, how he, again, deceives, is manifestation of being an angel of light. Now, I want to show you this because the Apostle Paul talks about this. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Again, I'm having you turn to a bunch of passages because I want you to see it. I'm giving you a bunch of biblical examples today. I'm not making this up, right? So Satan uses religious people and systems to promote his lies in the midst of truth. It isn't like a pitchfork and, oh, the devil made me do it. No. He comes as an angel of light in religious systems. The Apostle Paul had to deal with this in the church at Corinth here. Where should I start? Let me just start in verse 1 so you understand the context, okay? Would to God you could bear with me a little my folly, and indeed bear with me. He goes, you know, I could be boasting. Watch what he'll go on and say. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Verse 3. but I fear lest by any means the serpent, Satan, beguile you or trick you, even though through his, you know, his trickery, as he did to Eve, he's talking about here. So your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Right? Verse 4, 2 Corinthians 11, 4. For he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom ye have not preached, we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. So he's kind of saying this in, you know, sarcastically. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chief apostles. He says, you know, I'm not the original 12. But though I be, watch now, he says, rude in speech. He goes, okay, you think I'm unskillful? He goes, yeah, not in knowledge. But we have been truly made manifest among you in all things. I have committed an offense in basing myself that you might be exalted because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely. So Paul said, I didn't do this for money. I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. When I was present with you and wanted, I was charging able to no man for that which was lacking in me, but the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied in all things. I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, so I will keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth. One more verse here, and then we're going to get into what I want to get to. So he's saying here, I'm not doing this for the money. I didn't take any of your money, because you would say, oh, you're doing this for the money, Paul. But what I do, that I would do, that I might cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. And watch what he says now. For such are false apostles. He's probably here talking about the Palestinian Judaizers. Deceitful workers, transforming themselves in the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into the angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, which end shall be according to their works. Listen, Satan developed evolution. Satan developed worship mankind. It wasn't Darwin and other, he just used them. Listen to this, Romans chapter 1, 21 through 25. We'll put it up on the screen for you. Because that when they knew not God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible men, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Satan developed every cult that says Jesus is not God. Listen to the verse, 1 John 4:3. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, wherein you have heard that it should come, even now already is in the world. So what's that verse saying? It's saying everyone that doesn't believe that Jesus is God, it's from Satan. It's demonic. I mean, these are strong statements, but I'm just reading the Bible. I'm not coming up with this. It's fascinating as I study this more and more. Satan developed the idea you can get to heaven by doing good works and from abstaining from doing things. I grew up in Catholicism. When I read these verses for the first time, I was shocked. Here they are, 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 3. Now the Spirit expresseth, I just want to say this by Catholics, anybody could be saved by Jesus Christ. I'm not against any individual. But what people teach, if it's the opposite of the Bible, it's wrong. Right? Now, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times which we're in, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, of demons. What is that? Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused and is received with thanksgiving. It's saying to me that that's demonic. That's where it came from. Satan presents his ways as good, as right, as prosperous. You want to be prosperous? Follow me. But in the end, it leads to darkness. And it leads to destruction. Listen to this verse, Proverbs 14:12. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 9:17, stolen waters are sweet, bread eaten in secret is pleasant. Hey, sinner's pleasurable, he wouldn't do it. But he knoweth not that the dead are there and that our guests are in the depths of hell. That's where it leads to. Satan wants you to, hey, think about, you know, your success, your material things, all the pleasure you want. Just go for it. It's only one life. Thomas Brooks said this, Satan promises the best, but he pays with the worst. He promises honor and he pays with disgrace. He promises pleasure and he pays with pain. He promises profit and he pays with loss. He promises life and he pays with death. That's the truth. Now, let me just end here with the last thing. So we're under this idea of deception, right? Deceive. How does he deceive? He performs miracles. He manifests himself as the angel of light. The third thing, he manipulates who God is. Who God is. Satan distorts the truth, and he brings doubt to God's word. And we know the classic, right? We know that Satan is a liar, right? Let me quote the verse to you, John 8:44. Ye are of your father. This is Jesus talking to a religious leader. You are the father of the devil. Can you imagine witnessing somebody saying that? You know that person is lost, and they don't believe Jesus. God, whatever, just say, you're the father of the devil. He said some strong stuff. And the lust of your fathers you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him, not one ounce. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Classic example, and we'll close. Genesis chapter 3. Satan comes, says in verse 1, now the serpent was more subtle, or again, that idea of trickery, than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Did God really say that? Verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. God says you're going to die. Verse 5, for God know that in the day ye eat thereof, that your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So what was Satan saying? He's saying, God's holding on to you. God is not good. If he was good, he would have gave you that. He would allow you to do all that. See, Satan's going to come with lies. And my question to you, and I'll end with this, is what lies are you believing as a believer? God doesn't love you? Can never be separated from God's love. I'm not worthy. I'm talking about as believers now. I'm not worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy as Jesus Christ. I'll always struggle with this sin. I'll always be like this. All of those are lies. We have the Word of God. We have the Holy Spirit. We can change. We can be like Jesus. We could defeat Satan every single second. Next week, we're going to pick up, we're going to look at the armor, and we're going to look at prayer. We're going to pull all these together. You cannot defeat Satan by yourself. You will be deceived. Even as a believer. I'm not saying you could lose your salvation. We'll talk about that next week. Because Paul even said in 1 Corinthians 5, he said, I gave this man over to Satan to destroy his body, but his soul is saved. Because this man chose to go and sleep with his stepmother. To go outside of the bounds. We'll look at it next week. 1 Corinthians 5. He was a believer. The soul was saved, but I gave him over to Satan for the destruction. Because that's all Satan does. He destroys. Father, thank you for the hope we have in Jesus Christ. Thank you for the gospel that sets us free. We stand, Lord, in the position of Jesus Christ. And we're going to stand with victory. We're going to fight from victory. I thank you that he that is us is greater than he's in the world. Father, thank you for your Bible. You show us the methods that Satan uses. We're not going to be ignorant of his devices. Everybody with their head bowed, their eyes closed, you're here today. The first thing I want to talk to you about is, remember I talked in the beginning about these people who were born again and they didn't even believe Satan was real? In order to be saved, you have to come to the knowledge that Jesus is God. He died on the cross. He was buried. He rose again. He is the only way to heaven. His sacrifice is the only acceptable sacrifice. So you have to humble yourself today and say, I am weak. I can't get to heaven. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. It's the only way you can get saved. It's not by good works that Satan says, you know, just do good things, abstain from this. No, we saw it. It's from the devil. Will you humble yourself today when you say, I am a sinner. I deserve hell, but I ask you, Jesus, to save me. If you do that today, you could be saved. All your sin, past, present, future, is gone. The guilt of sin, you go into God's family. You're a believer today. How are you walking? Are you so defeated? Are you walking around with your head down? Listen, I want you to walk out of here with your head up and realize what Christ has done. Get a hold. We'll talk more next week about the Word of God. Start wielding that sword. Start calling on to God when you have need. Call out in prayer. Realize how Satan works. Let's stand up and let's live this abundant life for the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. As His name we pray. Amen.